Today, if you have your Bibles, our scripture reading will be in Matthew 27, 11 through 26. And today we will be talking about, as I said, Pontius Pilate and how he's had a change in accountability. Folks, today, I think as we look at Pilate, we will see so much of ourselves in him. I know I saw, when I really stopped to look at him and study, I see Mike, especially Mike in his younger years, very much so. Me and him could have been twins, because who wants to really take responsibility for what you do? I mean, you know, as I got older, when I was younger, I didn't want to take any responsibility for what I'd done. But as I got older, I realized that, hey, it's going to all be the same whether you claim that responsibility or whether you don't, whether you stand accountable for what you've done or whether you don't. And so one day, I know Dad, he was calling me on the carpet, and so I know he was expecting me to lie to him, Dickie. And I know he was, because I could just see it wrote all over him. And so I said, enough about it to ask me, so I'm just going to tell you, yeah, you're correct. So if he didn't know something about it, he couldn't have been asking me about it, could he? So I just said, hey, yeah, you're correct. He said, boy, he said, it's pretty serious. I said, I understand that, but you're correct. And he said, you don't know how to lie like you used to? I said, no, I don't. And so that was, I'll never forget that conversation. But I do believe, hello there, I do believe that the punishment that day was less because we had a conversation on being accountable for what we had done. And so this is where we're at, folks, with Pilate. I feel like today, before we get started, you got to think about yourself. I feel like myself, Mike, that's the only one I can talk about. I feel like if I had been in his position at an early place in my life, I didn't know about Jesus as well as I should have. I'm sure that he had heard about Jesus. I'm sure that he had heard about all the things that he had been doing, but he wasn't a believer. His wife wasn't really a believer. They just kind of knew who Jesus was. They knew that the things that he claimed to be, he claimed to be a king of the Jews. They knew all of this stuff, but far as saying that they were out looking and trying to find out more about Jesus, they weren't. Does that fit any of y'all? It fits me. You know, it was me when I was younger. You know a lot about Jesus, but are you trying to search out more? Are you trying to find out more? Are your desire to live for Jesus? Most time when we're young, we're doing everything we want to do, not what we need to be doing. And that was kind of the way I was there for quite a little while. And so I see myself in him. But the only thing was, he had the power of being the governor. He had the power to where he could control what happened to Jesus. He could control what happened to you. He could control lots of things that you couldn't control. And so here we see that Jesus is going to be standing trial before Pilate. And as we read the scripture this morning, let's just think about, how would you be different maybe than Pilate was at a point in your life? I hope today we're all past that. I hope today we would respond like we're supposed to and stand for the consequences no matter what. But we see that Pilate really had never encountered Jesus. He, for his first time, he was standing before Pilate. So in the 11th verse, it says, now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. Are you the king of the Jews? The governor asked him. Jesus replied, you have said it. But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. You know the scripture we just read where Isaiah prophesied it. This is what would happen. Don't you hear all these charges that are bringing against you? Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. Now, it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one of the prisoners to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year, there's a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. And as the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message, "Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night." Well, meanwhile, the leading priest, now listen to this, who's doing this? The leading priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" And the crowd shouted back, "Barabbas." Pilate responded, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" demanded Pilate. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water, washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours." And all the people yelled back, "We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children." So Pilate released Barabbas to them, and he ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, there's a lot right there. You could be here for a week every day unpacking that scripture. But we, as I said, we know that Pilate and his wife, either one, did not know Jesus. They did not know him as the Messiah. Pilate was asking him, "Are you the Messiah?" He said, That's what you said. You know, do you not know who I am? Do you not know who I am? But folks, if we ask that question, Jesus was more or less asking Pilate, "Do you not know that I'm the Messiah?" What did he ask Peter? And Peter, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You know, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are God's Son." And he's asking the same question to Pilate, and Pilate has no answer because he knew not who Jesus really was for sure. He just knew that he probably wasn't guilty of everything that he was being accused of. You see, they made up a bunch of charges on Jesus because if they had done it the right way, then the government, it wouldn't have stood. So they made up all of these charges, like we see today. Lots of people get charges made up against them. And when they get made up against them, they bring them to court and they find them guilty or unguilty. It doesn't matter if they're found guilty or if they're not guilty. What matters, folks, is that it is ruining their reputation. If they're put to death, if they know Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter because they have a place waiting for them. So they're fine that way either. But we see that Pilate's wife is the one that comes to Pilate asking that he do not do anything. Please do not do anything to this man. Now, this is where I think if you take a look at this story right here, we look back, and Jesus had the 12 disciples. He had brought them to the Last Supper. They had been there with him all the way through his ministry. They had watched him. They knew who he was. And as Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are Jesus Christ." So he knew. But stop and look at this picture, folks. What's just happened? Peter has denied him. He's denied him three times. Probably one of the strongest disciples there was, as far as being claiming to be strong in his faith. Was he as strong as he claimed to be? No, he wasn't. You can claim to be lots of things, but when it comes right down to it, like that day that I had to stand there with Dad, and you got to make a decision, am I going to lie about it or am I going to tell you what's really going on? Then when you have to make that decision, you have to stand. You have to stand with Christ each and every time. Is it hard? Yes, it's real hard. It's hard to make the right decision all of the time because we won't, because we're human. You can't make the right decision all the time. I fail every week in being the person that I need to be and being the disciple I need to be. I fail constantly. But you had Peter denying Christ. What happened? Judas betrayed him. They paid him. And he took the money. And then when he realized that they were going to kill him, he probably thought, well, they're going to whip him. You know, they're going to do something to him, but they're not going to kill him. When he realized that they were going to kill him, he took the money back and threw it in the treasury. And they bought the potter's field to bury Judas in because he went out and hanged himself. So we see this story of the people that had been with Jesus. That's us, folks. The people that have been with Jesus all of these years, all these days, all this time, are walking off from him because time's getting hard. There's fixing to be a riot. There's fixing to be people get killed over claiming to be a follower of Christ. If there's a riot brewing out here in this parking lot and we're up in his church, you go walk out there and say, hey, I'm one right here. Come to me. Come to me first. You going to do that? No. You're going to be real quiet. Try to blend in the crowd, get in your car, and go home. I know what's going to happen. That's the way we are. We're not going to stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when things get to the point of us giving up our life. And this is what was happening. And so we see the people that had been with Christ, the people that claimed to be the followers of Christ, they're giving him up. And here we are with Pilate's wife and him that don't know Jesus. And she's saying, don't do anything to this man. She's taking up for him. And Pilate, he's saying to the crowd, look, folks, I don't think this guy's done anything. Why would we be crucifying him? It's not supposed to be happening. He's not guilty of anything. He's standing up for Jesus on one hand. But on the same hand, he's turning him over to the crowd. Why? Because it was the popular thing to do. It was the political thing to do. He was a politician. You know any politicians? You ever seen politicians? Sure. Whatever you're hearing today, whatever you want to hear today, that's what they're going to tell you. Right this given moment, you call them on the phone, oh, yeah, I'm right with you, Mike. See them tomorrow. Watch what they vote tomorrow. They won't vote with you, Mike. That's called politicians. And that's what he was. And because the crowd was turning against him, he's giving him up. It's amazing to me, folks, as we see this story and we look at this story real, real close, and we see that we see what Pilate wanted everyone to see. You ever live your life like, well, I hope people are seeing what I'm doing because I'm doing something really good right here. I hope somebody's watching what I'm doing. Because what I'm doing is, it's worth being recognized over. No, it's not. Not if you're doing it in the name of Jesus. It's not worth you being recognized at all. It's worth him being recognized. Give him the glory. You don't take any glory for it. It don't matter what you're doing. You may be driving around the United States every week, but do it in the name of Jesus. If you're doing it for some reason other than the glory that you're wanting out of it, do it in his name, not in anybody else's. But you see what Pilate done. He took this wash basin, and he had it full of water, and he said, bring it to me. And he set it down, and he washed his hands. Oh, man, they're looking at him like, look at here. He's really standing up for Jesus. He's washing his hands of this, and he's going to give it to us. And they said, We will stand, and the sins will fall on us and our children. Who in the world would ever make such a statement? That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And that's what they all said. And who was it that said this? That was the priest and the elders. That was the religious people, folks. The religious people. The ones that had just handed him over. The ones that denied him. The ones that betrayed him. This is the religious people that's saying, let the sins fall on us and our kids. I mean, this is beyond being imagined. But it's happening. Accountability. Yes, Pilate, he stood there and was accountable for washing his hands of that sin and turning them over to that people. All in the same motion, he's allowing it to be done. Allowing it to be done. When he could have stopped it. He could have said, I don't care about the rout. I got an army here, folks. Y'all got to go. I've got an army that's going to stop this because we're not going to put this man that's innocent upon a cross. It's not going to happen today. It may happen someday, but it's not going to happen today under my watch. But he was like Peter. I don't know this man. I sure don't want to be killed with him. Do you see yourself in any of this? I see myself a lot because we respond so many times. So much we respond to what is popular with the crowd that we're with today. Folks, we can't do that. We cannot do that and expect to be forgiven. You have to, instead of Pilate washing his hands in front of those people and making it look like he was all holier than thou, he should have been on his knees asking God to forgive him for what has happened. I am so sorry. He should have been crying out to God the Father. But he didn't. He just wanted to put on a show. That's all he was interested in. Do you see it every day? We see it every day, folks. All it is they want to put on a show for you to see and you to believe. And you lap it up like a dog laps water. And then everything's good. It's not good, folks. It's nothing about it good. And then we go back out feeling real good about ourselves because we've seen and heard what these people have told us. And we go back into the world and we say, well, we were at church on Sunday. You saw me there, didn't you? I was there. You saw my truck sitting out front. I was there. We do everything that we're supposed to do, but deep in our heart, how do we actually live? How do you live? Do you live your life for Christ? Do you stand for Christ every day, no matter what the punishment's going to be? When somebody says, are you the pastor? I say, yep, I sure am. I was at a place the other day and had some people with me, and we went in and we were talking to this guy that I haven't actually, honestly, hadn't laid my eyes on in 50 years. And when he told me who he was, I mean, I hugged his neck, and I was glad to see him. I heard about him, but I hadn't put my eyes on him. And he was glad to see me. And he said, Mike, they tell me that you're the pastor. I said, yeah, I am, brother. I know you don't believe that, but I am. And he said, man, he said, I hadn't, you know, been around you or seen you in anything. But he said, I'm proud of you. And he said, he called this lady from the back, he introduced me to her, and he said, I never laid my eyes on her. And he told her who I was, he said, you know, he's a pastor now. And I said, that's right, brother. So he said he was telling me about he'd turned his life around. And he had a long, bad streak in his life, very, very much so. And he told this young lady, Katie was her name, he told her, he said, Mike's fixing to pray for me and you both. And right there in that business that we were standing in, I prayed for both of them. And folks, at that time, people everywhere, people standing everywhere. And we just, I told everybody, I said, everybody enjoying in it wants to. If you don't want to, you don't got to. But I'm going to pray for these two. And I'll pray for anybody else that would like for me to. And I will include y'all. But we shut down everything that was going on for just a few moments. But folks, we stood for Christ. And then when we left, you know, I don't know what they thought. Everybody look at you like you're crazy, kind of, because you do something like that. But I didn't do it to be recognized. I didn't do it to be thought of as being crazy either. I just done it because that's what was asked of me at that given time. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes it's easier to pray. Sometimes it's easier to preach. Sometimes it's easier to do everything for Christ than it is other times. But it's times like that when we're placed in that position. How do we react? How do you respond to Jesus? Pilate decided that he would wash his hands and be done of that sin and move on because his wife had done told him have nothing to do with that. As far as she is concerned, too, he done everything she had asked him to do. So it was all their fault now. It's off of them. They're going back home to eat Sunday dinner or Friday dinner, whatever they was going to do, Wednesday, Thursday. They were just going home, do their own deal, probably sit down and have a glass of wine and talk about that, how good they, what they done was really good. When in the big scheme of things, God says, you're no better than you were before you washed your hands, Pilate. You accomplished nothing. Absolutely nothing. And just as Judas sold him out, we know that Judas did not take time to ask God to forgive him. Probably he didn't spend any time on his knees. He just went and hanged himself because he knew he had done wrong. So folks, we come to this in our life, and I've been here and I know what I'm talking about. We come to a spot in our life where we say, you know, I'm kind of like Pilate. I've done so much and I've had such a rough life and I've had such a hard life that there's no need in me asking God for forgiveness. I'm past that. I don't need to be asking anything of God. And so therefore we just continue to live on and it ends one day and we then know and realize that we had all the opportunity in the world to have gotten on our knees, to have asked him to forgive us, and we would have been forgiven. We know that Jesus had died that day as quietly as he did, without complaining, without saying one word. He took upon himself every one of our sins, and he took upon himself the sins of Pilate that day as well. But Pilate didn't ask for forgiveness. He was just happy that everybody saw what he'd done. And so we know that at the end, Jesus tells each and every one of us that you have a place with me. The criminal on the cross, one asked, one didn't. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You're going to be with me, brother, because you have sincerely asked to come and be a part of my kingdom. Sincerely in your heart, this is what you desire. So don't worry about it. Yes, we're going to die on this cross, but don't worry about it. You're going to be with me today in paradise. Isn't that awesome? That's the most awesome thing, folks, that we could ever hear. Or he could be like the other one hanging right next. And he said, you know, I'm not asking. This guy's not going to do anything for us. If he could, if he could do that, he would come down off of this cross. We'd bring us down, get us down. You're crazy, fella. You can't ask anything like that of Jesus and expect anything of it to ever come. True, but he did, and it did. So, folks, we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, where are we at with Pilate, in Pilate's position? Where would you be? Would you be where that you would feel free to ask God to forgive you because I have sinned against you so much. And knowing in your heart, folks, that your forgiveness will be accepted, that he will accept you crying out to him, repenting of your sin. He will accept it. I guarantee you he will. Or do we go ahead and live our life like we are? We're good. We're good. I don't know, folks. I see death so many times in a year, and I always see it in a different version each time someone passes. And it is so sad when someone passes and they know that they're at their last, and yet they will not give it up. They will not give in to the fact that all they got to do is ask Jesus to forgive them. It's so sad. But it happens. And folks, this is some occasions right here where we talk about when it happens. And we know, as we spoke about a couple of 3 weeks ago, the rich young ruler, he went away. He didn't take time to ask for forgiveness. He didn't do the things that Jesus wanted him to do. And even the rich young ruler, as I said a couple of Sundays ago, he wasn't asking him really and truly to get rid of everything. What he was asking of him was his time and his money, and to get the money out of the top slot here in your life. Move me in the top slot. Put Jesus in the top slot. And put the money down here where it belongs. Because it's just a tool. Just a tool. So we see all kinds of people for all different kinds of reasons. Power being one of the biggest, as Pilate was. Money being the other. Power and money, they go together just like this, folks. And if you have to give up one, you'll probably lose the other. So you probably won't give up, and you'll continue in the same path of the rich young ruler and Pilate. You need to stop and think there's nothing that you have, nothing that you could ever own. I don't care what you could possibly own or how much money you could possibly inherit or how much money that you could possibly make that's going to be worth giving up your spot, your chance to be with Jesus Christ in heaven. You know, this week, folks, it's been hot. It's been tough. It's been hard time to be out in the heat. We spent 2 days in the heat, and yesterday a little bit in the heat. And it was worse yesterday, I thought, than any of the other two. But, Friday afternoon, about dark, I was hot. I don't know about y'all, but I was soaked through and through. And I was on that tractor, and I said, you know, Lord, today is not really the way I would have chose to spend the day. But I thank you so, so much, Lord, that you have given me the ability to be able to do what I've done today. Because I could have been that I would have no choice but to sit and watch and wait for it to be done from someone else. But he gave me that opportunity. And folks, that sounds kind of crazy, but to me, Friday afternoon at about dark when I quit, Friday afternoon, that meant more to me than anything that I could have ever hoped to have owned or inherited or ever obtained, was the fact that God has blessed me so much and allowed me to be where I was that day and to be able to do it and not feel bad. I mean, I'm good. I'm good to go. Isn't that such a blessing? But folks, you have to know Jesus Christ. You've got to know this peace that passeth all understanding. You've got to know when you're blessed and when you're not blessed. You know, when I was a kid and Dad had me on that tractor like I've been on it for the last 2 days, 3 days, I would have been fighting mad. It wouldn't have done me no good, but I'd have been fighting mad because I'd have still been on it, mad. But I would have looked at it a whole different way. And today I thank the Lord. I thank Him that I'm able to be there. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Folks, there's so much that Jesus offers to us besides money and treasures and all the things of this world. And so we have to know and understand. You might be the governor just like Pilate was. That power means nothing. You might be the rich young ruler, had it all. Means nothing. But that peace that when you accept Jesus and you decide to follow Him, that peace is worth it all. I hope today that you have made that decision not to be like Peter. Even though Jesus restored Peter, we know He'll restore us. I hope we have not made that decision to stand on our own, try to do things our way, try to not ask for forgiveness. I want you to build your relationship and ask the Lord to accept me. Be accountable for your own self. You see, Pilate looked at the accountability in the wrong way. He looked at it in a way that, yes, he was accountable, but he got rid of that being accountable. No, he didn't. Stand, be accountable for your own actions. Ask God to forgive you, and you will be forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.